Hi, Rick Barasa. Welcome to the fourth video in our Quick Start series on migrating your app from Windows Phone 7 to Windows 8. This video talks all about styling. So we'll look and see how it's implemented in general in Windows Store applications and what changes we need to do for our Viewer for Khan Academy video application that you can download following the links on this Quick Start series. So let's jump right into it. In our previous Quick Starts, we set up our project. We based it off of a template so that we can get common folder and all those goodies. We'll be using more of those goodies today as we look at styling. We then set up a data source. We used bindable base and observable collections to make sure that content is bindable and our UI elements were showing the right data. And now finally in this video, we have the right data being shown. How do we go ahead and make sure we style it the way we want to style it? So as we saw in the previous, if we open up just a generic template, for example, the file, new project, if we open up a Visual C# Windows Store grid app, we see that it comes with its common folder. We've been seeing this every single quick start. This time we'll be looking at the standard style XAML that comes with in that common folder. And if we see the template suggestion is in app.xaml, you see the first thing that app does is it creates this resource dictionary. It's loading up the application resources, creates a resource dictionary, and then here it wants to load in standardstyles.xml. Standardstyles.xaml. Standardstyles.xaml is what goes ahead and defines these kind of pre-built visual styles that are shared across default Windows 8 applications. These are all defined in standardstyle.xaml. So all the things that we normally see when we just create a brand new application and run it, things such as these, the font choice, the Sego UI, right, 42 point, the way these background colors work, all these things come automagically from this structure here. Standardstyles.xaml, app comes in, brings up those standard styles, and they're good to go throughout the application. Now, if we switch over to how we've needed to do this in a real app, though, in a real-world app, such as our Viewer for Khan Academy app, we'll see we made a slight change here, and we did this for a proper developer-designer structure. So in our app XAML, we're not loading up standard styles. We're loading up custom styles. Now, we could have merged them both here, the standard styles and custom styles. I found it a little bit easier when we were setting this up. We created a new XAML here, so we still have our standard styles here, but we created custom styles. And the first thing custom styles does is custom styles itself loads in standard styles. Now that might seem a little bit redundant to you. Why are you doing it that way? The reason for this is if we load it up as part of custom styles, if it's brought in here, that allows us when we're tweaking to do things such as based on, which is right here. And this is what comes very, very handy. So for example, I want to tweak my baseline text style. I don't have to recreate it from scratch. I can come into my custom styles, say this tweaking, this visual tweaking I'm going to do is based off of a static resource baseline text style, which you find in standard styles. So based on all that stuff, bring in all that definition, and then I just want to tweak certain specific elements. So by setting up the structure this way, for a real world scenario, found it much easier working with styles in the long run. So have your app, load in a custom styles, do all your custom stuff there, but import standard styles up at the very top, so you'll always have all those standard styles as well as be able to base on. So this keeps a clean separation, it keeps standard styles kind of isolated. Those are the default styles you want to preserve. The one caveat to that, with design there's always a caveat, is I did do some tweaking in standard styles. Mainly up at the very top, I open up standard styles. At the very top, I wanted to define some system-wide override brushes. And I wanted to put them here to make sure that they trickle down all the way through. So things such as the application foreground brush, the background brush, these brushes, I'm tweaking them on standard styles proper at the very, very top so that they trickle down all over the place, both the standard styles and then they subsequently get sucked in when custom styles sucks in all of the standard style definitions. So here's one area how we actually, in real life, ended up nesting our styles this way. So at this point, we come XAML, we've loaded our custom styles has inherited our standard styles, we can do base upon, we've overridden system colors, and we get to really start then having all the fun stuff of defining our particular visual identity for our application. The usage in it is very familiar if you're coming from Silverlight or WPF in terms of how do you attach those styles in the XAML elements. In fact, if we toggle back over to our generic template, we'll see them used the exact same way we're used to seeing them used. Here's a grid view, for example. The grid view comes in. We've already looked at item source when we were doing the collection view binding. Here's the element, though, as we're talking about styles. What's the template that we want to use for this? And again, as the generic sample, they're doing a very basic thing, right? The item template for this particular grid view is our standard 250 by 250 item template, right? In other words, when we run this application, this 250 by 250 item template visually here right, was defined right there. We know with confidence that this guy would be defined in our standard style somewhere, you know, sure enough. So that's the way the generic templates work. Now for Khan Academy, we needed to do something a little bit different though. We couldn't just take this easy way out for a grid view pointing it straight to a single reference. If you recall from previous quick starts in the series, when we're running on our hub page, we actually need to point to two different types of styles within one common grid view, because we chose to implement a kind of hub page concept where sometimes they might be big videos. We might want to lead with either one very big featured video, or in this case, a collection of videos that we want to highlight, and then trail on a lot of playlist data. So in this case, we have one grid view. We've already talked in the previous quick start of how to differentiate based on type what event to happen when you click on a playlist versus clicking on a video. But now we have to see how can we visually differentiate the template that we want to use for one element based on another. This is a slightly more advanced scenario, not covered in the standard templates, but you might run into it just as we ran into it in a very real world application such as the viewer for Khan Academy. So let's see how we actually handled this. If we come to our hub page and we look at how where the grid view is defined, you see the semantic zoom, we're going to get to that in a moment. But here's our grid view now coming in. Here we see our item source, as we had previously discussed. We are binding to that collection, grouped items. And here's what we have. Instead of saying what's our template, we're setting up. So again, instead of defining an item template, as you usually see in samples, what we did for ours in Viewer for Khan Academy is we need to do item template selector. And we're pointing to a static resource called template selector. So let's come up to template selector and see what's going on. This was a clever little way of getting out of that pickle when we're trying to implement a hub experience. So here we see that template selector is of type hub item selector. And hub item selector right here is a class that we've defined. Basically, this hub item selector, and we'll jump into the class in a moment. We'll see. So template selector, it's a hub item selector. Let's come into hub item selector. And we'll see that this custom class that we defined for Khan Academy, hub item selector, it's of type, or it inherits from data template selector. Basically, I'm pointing to three different types of data templates. And when this gets called as a resource, as we've done, it gets that data item, and then based on its type, if it's a video item, it's going to return playlist as a value. Otherwise, it's going to return topic as a value. So if we come back to our hub page, we're seeing it's taking in those objects, it's checking the type of each object that we have, and if the result is video, as we saw, if it returns topic, then it says go ahead and use the topic item template, which we've defined in our custom styles. If it goes ahead and it returns playlist, then the selector will say dynamically link it to the playlist item template. So this was something that was new to me in working through with the application, and it was a solution that really got us out of that jam. So if in your application you're trying to implement more of a page hub metaphor, and you need to rapidly point to two different types of stylings, this is definitely the way to do it. Create a class, in our case hub item selector, and inheriting from data template selector. That's the way you get out of that particular pickle. If you ever need it, it's good to know that you have it in your back pocket. This is exactly how you do it. So that was one of the main tricky things that we had in styling Khan Academy. Otherwise, it worked all the way through, defining your styles and attaching them as resources. There is one other thing with styling, though, that's new to Windows 8 applications, and let's look at that as well, and that is semantic zoom. So we'll see if I run this application. You'll see that right here I'm in my zoomed in view. And if I did a pinching gesture on my tablet, or in this case, if you're using a mouse down here, you'll see a little minus, which lets you give you a quick mouse view doing the zoom in. This is a zoom out view. Take me to a zoom out view. All right, so we have zoom in view. And by the pinch gesture or by clicking, the zoom out view. So how do we handle this? Because this is a feature that's really getting promoted in Windows 8, right? It's just kind of optimized for touch, being able to present content and switching out the views in it. We've seen the demos. Now you want it for your application. How do you actually do it? So let's check and see how you do it. If we look at the layout for a layout aware page, and again, this comes with all the templates and it's under our comments folder. So this is a general structure. Before we talk about semantic zoom, let's figure out what the default structure is for handling snapping, because that's really your base layout hierarchy. So let's look at how that works out first, and then we'll see where semantic zoom snaps into that. So here's how you handle snapping on layout aware pages. If you look at the structure, here's a quick capture image. You'll see that after it loads the resources, most templates will create a grid, 140 pixels up on top as your header. That maintains the Windows Store app silhouette, where you usually have a big header space and then your content down below of 140 pixels. So we see that here, 140 pixels high. Here's the grid that would define that header with the back button and page title. And then after that, you have a row that fills up the rest of the page, however high that page happens to be. Now, there are two elements, and both of these elements are fighting for this row position. But it works because one of those elements is set to visibility collapsed. In this case, usually it's list view that's set to visibility collapsed, and grid view is visible because you start up full screen. Whenever you then snap your screen to one of the sides, the visual state manager will kick in and toggle the visibility so that when it is snapped, you're going to see that list view is set to visibility visible, and the grid view is set to visibility collapsed. So let's look at how that code looks like, opening up again the standard grid application off of Visual Studio. We'll see our common layout aware page. In this case, it's a grouped items page XAML. We'll see our page resources. Here's our grid definition for the page. Here's our header grid right here. And then sure enough, we have a grid view and a list view. And both of them are trying to be in this, both of them are trying to be in this row right here. But we can see in our Visual State Manager groups that when we go into a snapped mode, let's see what happens. We see when we go into snapped, sure enough, scroll this up a little bit, it says item grid view, set your visibility to collapsed, item list view, set your visibility to visible. This is when the Visual State Manager gets into that snapped visual state. We can see this running. We run our application. It's not snapped. It's in portrait mode right now. So this is the grid view. Up here would be the header that holds this title for App 3. But if we go ahead and snap the application, I use the keyboard shortcut of the Windows period. I'll toggle through there. You'll see that it is no longer the grid view, but it's the list view. It's that Visual State Manager that's now making the list view visible while the grid view is collapsed. If we go back full screen, now the list view is visibility collapsed and the grid view is visible again. So that's how you handle snapping, by having these two elements both in the same row and then toggling their visibility using the Visual State Manager based on when it enters a snapped state or not. So again, let's look at that structure. So again, at a very simple high level. So again, here it is. The row definitions, your header grid, your grid view, your list view. So to introduce snapping into this, a lot of this comes into, or semantic zoom, comes into exactly how far up do you want your element to zoom out? Do you still want the header? You know, so where exactly, what exactly is the semantic zoom replacing? In our case, the semantic zoom is going to wrap itself around this particular this grid view right here that has our main content. So we'll see how that's implemented in our Khan Academy app. So let's come over to that. So here in our Khan Academy app, we're on hub page. We'll see again, hub page is inherits from layout aware page, or is a layout aware page. We've defined our page resources. Here's our main grid for the page with the two row definitions. So our header fits that Windows 8 store application silhouette. Here's the grid that holds our header. And then instead of going straight to grid view, we have the semantic zoom trying to be in grid row 1, and then the list view trying to be in grid row 1. Semantic zoom is visible, the list view is not visible. So semantic zoom now has two different views. It has its zoomed in view, and it has its zoomed out view. So in our case, it's in our zoomed in view, which is basically your default view. So the grid view we were replacing before is now right in here. So we were going header, grid view, list view. We're now going header, semantic zoom. Semantic zoom has zoomed in and zoomed out. Inside zoomed in, that's where we put our grid view. Everything works fine there. So we defined this grid view. It's the same one we've been seeing in the past several quick starts. The item source is based on that grouped items view source up above. The item template selector is a template selector. All these we've gone into depth. So nothing's changed in our grid view, except now it's wrapped up in a semantic zoom control, specifically in the semantic zoom zoomed in view. The zoomed out view, I put in another grid view. Now it's here because the effects were different. The item templates, it's a hub zoomed out template that we're pulling from, so it can visually be different. But other than that, everything else works the same. When you go into Snap, the list view is visible. When you come out of Snap, your semantic zoom element is visible. And based on if you're zoomed in or zoomed out, it'll determine which one it is. Let's see how that works on our application. Let's run this again here. And sure enough, here we are. Here's our header area, 140 pixels high, to maintain the Windows Store application silhouette. All this collectively is our grid view here. We snap it. We see it replaces it with a list view. And if we zoom out, semantic zoom out, we'll see that at this point, the semantic zoom in content has been shrunken and rendered invisible, and the semantic zoom out content has now been transitioned onto the screen. All of that comes out of the box by leveraging this control. So here we go, zoomed in, or zoomed out, and then we can zoom back in if we want to, and then continue with our application as we've been doing. So at this point in our Quick Start series, we've covered quite a bit of things. We've talked about the logic in setting up the project. We've looked at the asynchronous loading of data in one of the quick starts. We've then looked at data binding and how to do that in Windows 8. We've gone in depth into using custom styles and definitely leveraging that common folder. And now we've looked at semantic zoom and snapping. The last thing to do at this point, the application's pretty much been ported over to Windows 8. It's a great experience. But once we got it this far, there are a couple more things we wanted to take advantage of, because they shouldn't be that much more to snap in and really take advantage of the operating system. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our next video. There are certain things like sharing. All of a sudden, we can leverage that contract on devices. And a couple more just killer new features in Windows 8 that, for very little overhead, we can snap them right into this application and really make it shine. So come back for the last quick start, and we'll be covering those enhancers next. So thank you very much. Thank you.